Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, we'll have the latest from County House in Lifford as councillors vote to adopt Budget 2019. Pressure on the relevant ministers is mounting to ensure funding for eye care on the Blue Stack Foundation is secured for 2019 and for future years under a HSE service level agreement. A Donegal deputy has told the Dáil that the people of rural Ireland have been conned by the government, and 23 bond notices were issued to private water supplies in Donegal last year by the EPA. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. But first in news, the majority of Donegal County councillors have voted in favour of adopting Budget 2019 as presented by council officials today in Lifford. Councillors voted overwhelmingly for the proposals, with 28 in favour and 2 against. The budget will see no change to commercial rates and a fall of council expenditure by just over €2.8 million in the coming year. Overall, local representatives were complimentary of what was on the table and commended those responsible for compiling the budget. Speaking in Lifford earlier today, Councillor Cian Brogan said as long as funding is forthcoming from central government, Donegal County Council will deliver.
I suppose the most important thing for us is the fact that there's no percentage increase in commercial rates. It is and has been a huge issue for us, and I suppose it's very important in the challenging times we face now in this border county with the Brexit situation. We've had no increase in the local property tax over the last number of years as well. I think we find ourselves in a somewhat challenging time, but nevertheless I think the council and the book they have produced here today shows the book to be somewhat innovative as well. An area of housing maintenance where we want to see more people employed in housing maintenance, and we're glad to see over 500,000 in there to allow increase in housing maintenance. There's many challenging areas for us. The whole area of roads, I suppose there are a lot of roadworks going on at the moment in areas like the Coolboy to Kilmacrenan project, but many other areas. But I think we need to see additional monies in our roads, and indeed we need to see more people employed in our road staff as well. We have done a lot of work over the last number of years working as a North West gateway group, and I think that has been proactive. The whole area of tourism has been very positive as well, but we need to continue to work closer and engage with the business people as well in the county. So all in all, I feel that it's the budget that we can probably get best out of here today going forward. And the one thing finally that it demonstrates is when we get the resources from national government, we as a council can spend them and spend them well. We've showed that in the areas that we've done infrastructure projects going forward. So we need to continue to work closely with our RACTUS member to try and source as much funds as we can into the county, because we need it here, and we demonstrated in the past that we can spend it and spend it well.
The Taoiseach says nobody knows what a no-deal Brexit scenario would look like. Theresa May is in Brussels today for talks ahead of this week's EU Council summit. She's still facing a struggle at home to get the proposed withdrawal agreement enough support in the House of Commons. If it doesn't, the UK could crash out of Europe without a deal, which Leo Varadkar says would be uncharted waters.
The truth is nobody really knows for sure what would happen if there was a no-deal scenario. And if there was a no-deal scenario, nobody knows how long that no deal would last. It's my view that if we did end up in a no deal situation, we would find ourselves having to negotiate a no deal deal quite soon thereafter. So what might happen for a few weeks mightn't last more than a few weeks.
Pressure on the relevant ministers is mounting to ensure funding for eye care and the Blue Stack Foundation is secured for 2019 and for future years under a HSE service level agreement. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin will be raising the issue in the Shanna tomorrow. There was much anger earlier this year when a decision was taken not to fund a joint application by the two organisations under the €16 million ability programme. However, interim funding was eventually granted. Senator McLaughlin says it's imperative funding is secured to enable both organisations continue offering such vital services.
It's really important that we get confirmation as soon as possible that the eye care organisation in Neshowen that provides supports to over 100 young people of autism and their families, and the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation in South Donegal, that they will get a service level agreement, that they will get the funding they need for 2019 and for all the years forward. In the case of eye care, I'm very, very familiar with the fantastic work they do. They've been there for 18 years keeping services together. based on donations and fundraising. They're tired, they're weary, they need good news, they need confirmation that finally the services that they're provided are fully recognised by the state and by the HSE, and the same goes for Bluestacks Special Needs Foundation.
And we know that this year there was a lengthy campaign for funding to be secured for both organisations, and both of them at the time said that they couldn't continue unless they did get the funding.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking here about families and loved ones of children with intellectual disabilities, and then across the disability spectrum. They have huge challenges being carers themselves, and they're being asked then to go out and fundraise relentlessly. It just isn't acceptable. Remember that the HSE are referring families to these services without the necessary support. So this needs to stop now, this year. We need to be seeing service level agreements for 2019 for both fantastic organisations that have the full support of the people of Donegal. I expect good news soon from the Minister for Disabilities and from the HSE, and I'm going to pursue this vigorously until we get this official.
A Donegal deputy has told the Dáil that the people of rural Ireland have been conned by the government. During a topical issues debate on post office closures, Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher clashed with Minister Sean Canny, describing the AMPOS protocol, which was accepted by the government, as deceitful. Claiming that local representations were ignored, Deputy Gallagher says it's one rule for Dublin and another rule for Donegal.
In my county of Donegal, there are 17 post offices either closing or due to close. And this is a result of a protocol that was presented to the government by AMPOS, and the government accepted that protocol. It relates to areas where there are post offices with a population under 500, but it wasn't a population, it was rural settlements. It was a deceitful way to have done this. There was no commercial analysis, there was no economic analysis, there was no rural proofing. But it's okay for the people of Dublin to be 2 miles, 2 kilometres of post office. But what about the people of rural Ireland? As long as you have to walk or cycle, or if there's public transport available, 15 kilometres. The people of rural Ireland, and particularly the people of my county, they have been conned by this government. I, together with colleagues, went to public meetings, committees were selected. They spent hours and days preparing submissions. Submissions to whom? Submissions to reviewers that were appointed by AMPOS. What other decision would we expect? I went to the GPO together with my colleagues Doherty and Pringle with bagfuls of submissions. We might as well have put a match to them in the middle of O'Connell Street, because they had no effect whatsoever. It's not good enough that AMPOS and the government have not accepted the will of this House, a unanimous decision by this House, and they've totally ignored us. We're not prepared to accept this. Thank and you, they have conned the people of rural Ireland.
Responding, Minister Canny said the closure of some post offices will help ensure others are sustainable into the future. He also claimed many post offices facing closure haven't been supported.
I am from rural Ireland, just at the outset, and I do understand it's happening in my own constituency. But I will say as well is that the post office has not been supported. And a lot of post offices have closed because they haven't been supported. So we have to talk about the facts of it. And it is the government's policy that the post office must remain strong, viable, and that the company be in a position to provide high-quality nationwide postal services, and that maintains a nationwide customer-focused network of post offices in the community.
There's no set end date for the confidence and supply agreement, according to Fianna Fáil. The talks to renew the deal keeping the government up have been progressing slowly as Fianna Fáil meets department officials to renew the deal. Minister Simon Harris said they needed to decide what they were doing, as in his eyes, the deal expires when the finance bill passes in the Dáil this week or next week. However, Fianna Fáil's Michael McGrath says they won't be rushed.
The agreement doesn't have an end date. It has a review provision, and the review is to take place by the end of the year. And, you know, we want to do it properly. We want to do justice to the people who are watching very carefully the work of this government and the work of the Oireachtas. And, you know, that is our guiding principle, is what is in the best interest of the people we represent.
There were 23 boil notices issued to private water supplies in Donegal last year by the EPA, with 1,607 people affected. The agency's report into private supplies in 2017 says there were no directions issued and no audits carried out in the county last year. Nationally, the report finds E. coli was found in 51 private water supplies serving commercial buildings like hotels, creches and nursing homes. Dervil Devaney is a drinking water inspector with the EPA. Speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier, she says it's in the interest of hotels and other businesses to ensure they are registered with local authorities.
Donegal has about 41 supplies on its register of these private water supplies. And 30 are these small private supplies, the hotels and these that are served from these wells. And just 4 of those weren't monitored. But we're concerned about the ones that aren't even on Donegal County Council's list. You know, there may be premises out there that aren't on the list. They might have a public mains running outside the hotel, but that hotelier might have decided to drill its own well. And who's to know that it's on that supply?
If you're connecting commercial rates and no water rates, then it wouldn't be hard to identify those that aren't on. Maybe it's not that simple, but you wouldn't imagine it'd be too
difficult.
Hard.
It's difficult, Greg. It is difficult because there's no legal requirement for a private water supplier to register.
No, well, that's a problem.
Okay, right, and there is a legal requirement for the local authority to, have this list.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it's bad for business. Any hotelier doesn't want to be putting their customers at risk. If somebody has a wedding in a hotel that's served from one of these wells, or if somebody from Dublin goes down to Donegal for the weekend, they don't want to be making. It's not good for business if somebody gets sick from their well. So it's in their interest as well to contact the local authority to ensure that they are on the register, so that the local authority can then go out and monitor that supply.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get great daily deals with the massive Black Friday sale running all this week.
It's 12 minutes past 5 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Aaron McAnuff has left Derry City for Shamrock Rovers. The midfielder confirmed the move on social media, stating he would not be part of the Derry City Football Club next season, and he thanked everyone involved for all their support over the 3.5 years that he spent with his hometown club. He has moved on and joined Premier Division rivals Shamrock Rovers. It's understood he met with new Derry boss Declan Devine, but opted to exit the Brandywell. Martin O'Neill says he fulfilled a lifetime ambition by managing the Republic of Ireland. The Derry native left the role today, along with his assistant Roy Keane, after 5 years in charge. In a statement, O'Neill says managing Ireland was a great honour and pointed to the Euro 26 finals has been his highlight. He left the role by mutual agreement with the FAI this morning after failing to win a competitive game in 2018 and being kept scoreless in the last 4. Well, Kevin Kilbane says O'Neill's tactical approach, particularly in the recent run of games, just simply hasn't been good enough.
This has been a slow decline since Euro 2016. That's the way that it's been. Certainly in the last 18 games anyway, since 2016, we've only scored 2 goals only once in that 18 games. That says it all to me, I think, really. We're not creating, we're not having chances in matches.
Former Republic of Ireland international Gary Breen feels the national team's future is bright, however. Mick McCarthy, Neil Lennon, Sam Allardyce and Stephen Kenny are among the managers being tipped to replace Martin O'Neill. The boys in green, as you know, failed to score in the last 4 games, but Breen feels it wouldn't take too much to turn things around.
The reason that Martin O'Neill has struggled is because he just didn't do the right coaching with these players. He didn't believe in the players. But there'll be a manager who will come along now and say, well, listen, I can coach these players. I can produce a team out of this group of lads. And I think that's the key point, is that these players, and I'm under no illusions, this is not our strongest depth in terms of the quality we've had over the last decades, but they're capable of so much more than what they've done and what they've seen. And I think any manager will be desperate for this Ireland job.
It was confirmed this morning that Ireland will be among the 3rd seeds for next month's Euro 2020 qualifying draw. The relegation to Nations League C ensured they'd be in pot 3. The qualifying draw takes place in Dublin December the 2nd, with the groups getting underway in the month of March. Now, the LYT men's soccer team had a comfortable 6-1 victory over the Northern Regional College this afternoon in Letterkenny. Adam Duffy and Liam Walsh scored a double apiece in the game, while Gareth Doherty and Sean McBride also scored. The victory means Shane Burnside qualify for the CUFL Division 1 quarterfinals, where they will be away from home in the next stage of the competition. Moving to Gaelic Games, and the LYT men's footballers will see action tonight as they take on Dundalk IT. Michael Murphy's side will play in the Higher Education Senior Football League Division 2 final in Garvahy. That one is due to get underway under the lights at the Tyrone venue at 7:30 this evening. Well, it was a good day for St Union's College of Letterkenny on the Gaelic Games front, with two teams tasting victories in Ulster competition. The senior side are now within touching distance of the knockout stages of the McCrory Cup, thanks to their second win. Colm McFadden's men beat St Paul's of Bessbrook Cavan 2-11 to 6 points to finish to sit in second in the group, and that placing will be confirmed on Friday, dependent on the result of Armagh and Carrick Macross. Letterkenny Gaels' Ronan Frayne scored the two goals, while Páraic McGettigan and Shane O'Donnell scored 3 points each. Elsewhere, St Union's secured their place in the Lochaber Cup final with a 1 point, 3-8 to 4-4 victory over St Joseph's of Dunamore in Dungannon. Liam Blake Boyce's late goal was the score that sent Union's to the final next week. Mick Bohan has committed his future to the Dublin Ladies senior footballers. The back-to-back All-Ireland winning manager has been reappointed on a 2-year term. And finally in rugby, Leo Cullen says the Ireland job is off his radar. Leinster's Champions Cup winning coach is among those tipped to replace Joe Smith should the New Zealander decide to leave after next year's World Cup. Dismissing the speculation, Cullen insists his coaching career is still young and he's a lot to learn. Smith is due to unveil his plans after Saturday's final November test against the USA at the Aviva Stadium. Tom Comack will have the GA programme here tonight on Highland, usual throw-in time on a Wednesday as at 8:30. And we'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, the National Standards Authority of Ireland has published a definitive protocol which will be used by engineers and geologists to assess homes suspected of being affected by mica or pyrite. It follows a year of discussions involving input from people from affected areas, including Donegal. NSAI spokesperson Yvonne Wilde says this may lead to some houses in the county being re-examined.
Certainly that could be an option open to homeowners who've already looked at the problem and have had recommendations from their engineers. Now, this is regarded as the best practice by all the engineers and the test laboratories and the geologists. This is regarded as the best way to assess a house and decide and make recommendations. So that may arise, yes.
ISME is concerned that the National Broadband Plan is facing further delays. An independent report due to be published this week is expected to find that the tendering process wasn't compromised. The integrity of the plan was questioned when it emerged that former Communications Minister Dennis Naughton and the final remaining bidder had a number of private meetings. However, Vice Chair of ISME, Ross McCarthy, says the process appears to be flawed from the outside looking in.
It does look as though the process will be delayed. The question we as a society, and I think it's a broader societal question for us to consider, is whether or not we want a culture where a flawed process, if it is flawed and found to be flawed, because it's certainly from the outside looking in, it appears to be the case, is allowed to stand. What does that actually mean for our business culture and confidence that people can have in procurement processes?
Investigations are continuing in Tyrone following a major oil spill into the Drumraw and Struil River. Authorities have confirmed that they have identified the source and stopped the leakage into the river, which has already caused significant contamination and pollution. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says there is much concern as to the extent of the environmental damage caused.
News emerged earlier today when a member of the public had contacted NIEA to complain about an oil spill, or what they identified to be oil, on the River Struil. It turns out that when an investigation was carried out by the NIEA, that it was indeed oil or some form of diesel that was on the river. Quite a serious concern for the local community. I spoke with NIEA then, and they did indeed confirm that it was an oil spill. Now, this is not the first in recent months that this has occurred on that particular river.
And I'm sure that investigations are still in an early stage, but is there any indication of where it may have come from?
That was my first question when speaking with them, was could they identify where it was coming from? They said they had, and that they've stopped, or what they believe they've stopped, where it was coming from. They couldn't confirm to me the level of oil that had went into the water stream, but what they did say was that they've stopped the flow going into the river, they've identified the source, and that they've carried out various samples. I have asked them to provide me with their full findings when and soon as they have them. The important thing for today is that they established where it was coming from and have stopped it for now, but we are not yet sure as to how much actually entered into the water stream, which is a big question for many people out there, particularly who will have significant environmental concerns about such contamination going into the river.
€30,000 in funding has been secured for Arclan Gidor. €15,000 has been allocated by Donegal County Council and match funded by Uteris na Gaeltachta. Cathaoirleach of the Glendies Municipal District, Councillor John Hamish O'Farrell, says the funding is a huge boost for the theatre and will hopefully pave the way for further investment.
It doesn't finish here. There's a meeting organised in the next number of weeks between Donegal County Council, Uteris na Gaeltachta, and the Department of Arts, see how we can help the Arclan in years to come as well, not just in 2019, but to have go through the programme that they have for the year and how we can help them in relation to funding and look at the programme that they have.
Donegal social enterprises are being urged to apply for funding from the €1.6 million Social Enterprise Development Fund. Applications are currently being sought by Donegal County Council in partnership with the Social Innovation Fund, with grants ranging from €10,000 to €50,000 available. Tina Gates has more.
Local authorities across the country, in partnership with Social Innovation Ireland, have launched the second year of the €1.6 million Social Enterprise Development Fund. The fund is financed by the Department of Rural and Community Development from the Dormant Accounts Fund and IPB Insurance. Social enterprises have the opportunity to apply for grants ranging from €10,000 to €50,000. 16 successful applicants will each receive a cash investment and a place on the National Accelerator Programme, which provides training across the private, non-profit and public sectors, and will provide each participant the opportunity to pitch for a share of an additional €100,000 in funding. The closing date for applications is the 25th of January 2019. Further details are available on www.socialinnovation.ie.
And finally in news, 490 jobs are being axed at Bombardier in Belfast. The aircraft manufacturer employs just under 4,000 people in the north, but says it needs to cut costs and improve efficiency. It comes as a major blow for workers ahead of Christmas. Jackie Pollock is from the Unite Union.
This is not just a blow for the workforce in Bombardier. It's a total blow for the whole local economy of Northern Ireland.
Weather now. Tonight will be cold with some further showers, heavy for a time with a risk of thunder. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees with patchy frost in some inland parts. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the majority of Donegal County Councillors have voted in favour of adopting Budget 2019 as presented by council officials today in Lifford. Councillors voted overwhelmingly for the proposals, with 28 in favour and 2 against. The budget will see no change to commercial rates and a fall of council expenditure by just over €2.8 million in the coming year. Pressure on the relevant ministers is mounting to ensure funding for iCare and the Bluestack Foundation is secured for 2019 and for future years under a HSE service level agreement. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin will be raising the issue in the Shannon tomorrow. There were 23 boil notices issued to private water supplies in Donegal last year by the EPA, with 1,607 people affected. The agency's report into private supplies in 2017 says there were no directions issued and no audits carried out in the county last year. And a Donegal deputy has told the Dáil that the people of rural Ireland have been conned by the government. During a topical issues debate on post office closures, Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher clashed with Minister Sean Canny, describing the AMPOS protocol, which was accepted by the government, as deceitful. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, November the 21st. The death has occurred of Declan Dorian, Coolback, Kindrum, Fannad and late of Manor Court House, Letterkenny. Remains will repose at his family home at Coolback from 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. Requiem Mass at St Mary's Church, Fanavolte at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Simon community. The death has taken place of Simon McBride, 17, at Beechwood Grove Convoy, formerly Town Parks Raphoe. His remains are reposing at his parents' residence at Town Parks Raphoe. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for service in Raphoe Presbyterian Church at 2:00, with burial afterwards in the family plot. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Asthmatic Association Donegal branch, Kev Gibson, funeral directors. The death has occurred of Jean McCormick, 15, Kildogue Road, Gosheen, County Derry. Jean will repose at her residence until her removal to St Patrick's Church, Clonie, this evening at 7:00 for reception at 7:30. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11:00, interment in the adjoining cemetery immediately afterwards. House private, please. The death has taken place of Eddie Tigg McFadden, Cairnsport, Gidor. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11:00 at funeral mass at St Colum Kills Church, Knockfola, and burial afterwards at Maharagullen Cemetery. House private from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m, rosary at 9:00. The death has taken place of Nancy McLafferty, Main Street, Carrigart. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11:00, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10:00 tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has occurred of Mairead McShane, née McDonough, Convent Road, Letterkenny, and formerly of Galway. Mairead's remains are reposing at her late residence, Convent Road. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 10:00. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. Family time before the funeral tomorrow morning, please.